The gospel passage which I am taking is from Matthew, Matthew 5, verse 13. And Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, what is there left to give it taste to it? There is no more to be done with it but throw it out of doors for men to tread it underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city cannot be hidden if it is built on a mountaintop. A lamp is not light to be put away under a bushel measure. It is put on the lampstand to give light to all the people in the house. And your light must shine so brightly before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We celebrate today the feast of that lovely saint, the Franciscan friar, Bonaventure, born near Oviedo. He became a Franciscan, and his intellectual gifts were very soon recognized, and he was sent to Paris to study under Alexander of Hales. As a theologian, he was more interested in the importance of an effective rather than a purely rational approach to the divine mysteries. And his main theological teaching is in his commentary on Peter of Lombard. In 1257, at the early age of 36, he was elected Minister General of the Franciscan Order, and he entered into a cauldron of political trouble. He's often been called, with some justice, the second founder of the Franciscans, for he came to office at a critical time. The friars had enormous increase in numbers, but the lack of organization by which characterized the charismatic Francis, the rivalry among various factions of the order, each of whom claimed to be the heirs of the founder's thought, together with a certain decline in zeal, had made them the target for criticism. He staunchly defended Franciscan ideals and confirmed the existing practice of friars studying and teaching in the universities. He saw their role in the church as a whole as completing the work of diocesan clergy by preaching and spiritual direction, in both of which activities the other clergy were frequently deficient through poor education. His great way of preaching to his brothers was that he lived out his own ideals of simplicity, frugal poverty, diligence, and detachment from the rich as well as from riches. And these were realized in his own life. Many honors were offered to him. He was actually nominated as Bishop of York in England, but he rejected the honor. However, Gregory the X commanded him to take a cardinal bishop's office of Albano. It's an interesting little aside. When the papal messengers reached him, he was washing up the dishes in the Friary of Mugello near Florence, and he told them to wait until he had finished his job. He, like his friend Thomas Aquinas, was summoned to the Council of Lyons. Thomas Aquinas died on the way there, and Bonaventure played a big part, trying with great diplomacy and great prayerfulness and theological insight to bring about the reunion with the Greeks. It was temporarily effected, and he preached at the solemn mass of reconciliation. But he did not live to see Constantinople repudiate the reunion so patiently achieved. He died on the 15th of July at the age of only 52. His achievements in the fields of theology and government should not blind one to the dominant characteristics noted by contemporaries. gentle courtesy, compassion, and accessibility. Saints are often said that they're for our admiration, not for our imitation. But certainly, Bonaventure, a great theologian, great preacher, and yet he offers us so much by the way of gentleness and courtesy. I'd just like to finish with part of a prayer that he wrote that we were always recommended to say after Mass. O most sweet Lord Jesus Christ, be always my hope and my whole confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure, and my joy, my rest and tranquility, my peace, my witness, and my fragrance, my sweet savour, my food and refreshment, my refuge and my help, my wisdom, my portion, my possession, and my treasure, in whom my mind and my heart may always remain fixed and firm, and rooted immovably henceforth and forevermore. Amen.